I want to
thank my God for giving me the opportunity to speak the word, but also live in the word, which we all should be looking forward to. Preaching the word of God is something that we all should really be looking forward to. Not only looking forward to, but also looking forward to do. Today, we just had two more members added to California City Church of Christ, Maureen and James. So that gives us four members there. So within a year, you see, it really takes time, you know, to for people to hear and listen to the gospel. We have a lot of work to do there, but I see we have a lot of work to do here. There's a lot of changes that have been made in our lives, especially, you know, because of the pandemic, but also because things are just that way. It just seems like that. It seems like when we look in Acts chapter 2, we see that the 3,000 souls that were added, we wish that could happen just like that. And also in Acts chapter 3, we see that 5,000 souls were being added, just being increased. Isn't that something? But, you know, one thing that I do want to talk about is the thing of hearing. You know, here, God is always hearing you in hearing. And in that, we need to realize that even though God is always hearing us, he hears everything that we do, and he knows everything that we do. In the book of Mark, we see Mark telling that Jesus is given this instruction, and he says, and he said unto them, Jesus said, pay attention to what you hear. With the measure that you are used, it will be measured to you, and still more will be added unto you. That's a profound statement. It's a profound statement because we need to realize that we need to pay attention to the things that we hear. Not only the things that we hear in life, but also mainly the gospel itself. We need to understand, I picked this up online, that hearing is a verb. But even though hearing is a verb, we also need to realize that in that it is maybe what has become or maybe what happened. But we see that hears is also talked about in a third person presence. And in that third person presence, we normally see that he, she, it, or they are used within our language and within the scriptures. But also looking at the past, the past tense, heard, we need to realize that that is past tense. We really don't have to explain much about that. But anyway, we have a tendency to express ourselves in the things that are happening and making statements that have existed in the past. Also, dealing with past participle, let's not get into that, but hearing. But hearing is the present participle. And in that present participle, we understand that this form of a verb is basically used in good thinking and things of that sort. Since I came in and I didn't have everything together, I want to thank Richard for making sure that you have your lessons there, but also that it's up here. I thought that I sent it off last night, but for some reason, you know, we didn't get there. And I'm going to go through a couple of these slides here, and I want to get to the scriptures here, because what we need to realize is in obeying the gospel, that's supposed to be the first thing that we're supposed to do. We're supposed to hear the word of God. And in hearing the word of God, we're to be told of how things are going to be formed and how we're going to be informed about the message. In Mark chapter 7, verse 14, here we see that Jesus is saying again, and he called the people to him and he said to them, hear me, all of you, and understand. Now, as Jesus has this audience, he definitely wants to grasp their attention. And in grasping their attention, we know that there were miracles that were done. And that was another reason why that it came to them. But we also need to realize that they need to understand, not only hear, but they need to understand. Understand what? Understand the message. And a lot of times when we sit down and we give the gospel, sometimes people aren't really listening and hearing as they should listen. Because if they listened and they heard, they would do what Ananias told Saul to do. to immediately arise and be baptized. Here in the book of Luke, we see it's in chapter 11, it says, but he said, blessed rather are those who hear the word of God and keep it. And that's what we need to understand. We need to realize that Jesus not only wanted them to hear the word, but he also wanted them to keep it. Keep it where? Keep it in their heart. Keep it in their minds. Because we know in the time of Moses, when Moses was out and had all of his miracles and things of that sort, setting the people free, he wanted to make sure that not only did Pharaoh hear, but he wanted to really hear what God had to say, because God said that Pharaoh's heart was going to be hardened. And you know, even though knowing that his heart was going to be hardened, we need to realize that that was a hard trick. That was a hard thing to deal with. But I like to go into the Old Testament dealing with Saul. In Saul, in chapter 8 of 1 Samuel, Samuel. Nevertheless, the people refused to obey the voice of Samuel. And they said, nay, but we will have a king over us. God didn't want them to have a king over them. God didn't want them to have a king over them, because what would happen was they would be in not servitude, but they would be slaves. They would be slaves, and Pharaoh would take them, or whatever king would take them and make them do all of the work and cheap labor again, you know. Verse 20 says that we also may do like all the nations, and that the king may judge us and go out before us and fight our battles. And Samuel heard all of the words of the people. You know, it's like today in our society, we know that there are a lot of changes that are being made, and a lot of us who obey the gospel, we don't want to make those changes, because those changes are causing sin, not only sin in the world, but sin as our children grow up and they see all these things. They're changing laws that should not be changed. They're not obeying the gospel. They're not obeying God's word as they should. But listen to what what Samuel's doing. Samuel said, yeah, he heard the words of all the people. And the Lord said to Samuel, hearken unto their voice and make them a king. And Samuel said unto the men of Israel, go ye every one into his own city, and that he would make a king. But we know in this story that Saul becomes king. Not Saul of the New Testament, Saul of the Old Testament. We had a discussion with the group. I have several men that I have Bible studies with, and they, when speaking with them, they confuse Saul of Tarsus and Saul of the Old Testament. And I'm like, how can that happen? And it just lets you know that they don't spend the time to really sit down and read God's word and even understand it. So here in chapter 15, verses 22 and 23, and Saul said, has the Lord as a great delight to burn offerings and sacrifices, as obeying the voice of the Lord? Behold, to obey is better than sacrifice, and to hearken is better than fat rams. So what's happened now? What's happening now is Saul now is king. But God tells Samuel and Saul that that they're going to go and they're going to take over the enemy, the Amalekites. Make sure that's right word. But they're going to go and they're going to take over. And as they're going to take over, God is going to bless them. But God told him, he said, I want you to destroy everything. I want you to, the king, the queen, all the goods and everything. The lambs, all the sacrifices. I want you to destroy all of this. But you know what? Saul decided to do even more than that. Because Samuel was a priest. Because Samuel was a priest, what Saul decided when it came time to go to battle, that he was supposed to wait so Samuel can come and pray. No, that didn't happen. So we see that Saul decides that he's going to pray and he's going to go to battle. So he goes to battle. And as he goes to battle, he takes everything. And so here, Samuel says, what do I hear? What do I hear? And as he says that, Samuel knows. That's why Samuel says, obeying the voice of the Lord. To obey is better to sacrifice. To hear the word of God is better to sacrifice. To hearken unto the word of God is better than sacrifice. And then in verse 23, he says, for rebellion is a sin. Now listen to what Samuel's saying. For rebellion is as sin of witchcraft and stubbornness as of iniquity and idolatry. Because thou hast rejected the word of the Lord. We need to hear the word of the Lord. And he needed to hear the word of the Lord. He needed to obey the word of the Lord, but he didn't. And he says, and has also, God has also rejected you for being king. That had to be a pretty hard issue for Samuel. Because you know what Samuel did? Here in chapter 15, verse 24 and 26. And Samuel said, and Saul said unto Samuel, that I have sinned, for I have transgressed the commandment of the Lord, and thy words have because of I feared the people and obeyed them. Now, therefore, pray that I'll be pardoned, he says, pardon for my sin, and that I will turn, that he will turn again unto me, and that I may worship the Lord. You know, when we obey the gospel, we need to realize, and I know we do, that baptism is for the forgiveness of sins. But what we do continually is we continually hear the word of God, which we're speaking about now. We also continue to believe. We believe what the word of God says because we read it, we follow it, we obey it, we study it. But also that we repent, because if we have sinned, we need to turn back to God. We know that Simon in the book of Acts turned back, who was once a sorcerer. He obeyed the gospel. He was baptized. But then as soon as the disciples came, what happened? When they came, oh, wow, what can I do to do the things that you did? But then Peter told him that his heart was not right with God. And as he told him his heart was not right with God, the next thing he did, he says, pray for me. Isn't this what Samuel's doing? Pray for me. This is something that we need to continually do, because we are the human factor. We are men and women, and we do fall away. But immediately we need to obey. And in obeying that, repenting, confessing your sin is important. But you know, even though we say that baptism is that for the forgiveness of sins, we also need to realize that we need to be faithful continually. Being faithful continually is something that we always need to do. But here, it says that thou hast rejected the word of the Lord, and the Lord rejected thee for becoming a king. The story about Moses. We all love the story about Moses. We love the story. But we also know that Moses didn't make it into the promised land. Why did Moses not make it into the promised land? Because he did some things that God asked him to do, such as take the rod and wave it over instead of striking so that the water may come out. But we see that Joshua takes the place of Moses and takes them through. And as he takes them through, we see in Joshua chapter 3, verse 7, it says, and the Lord said to Joshua, this day will I begin to magnify thee in the sight of all of Israel, that they may know that I was with Moses, so will I be with thee. That's a great promise. Because when you look at what Moses did to free those out of Egypt, but not only free them out of Egypt, but all the days that he carried God's people and God's people complaining and murmuring, God was always with them. Verse 8 says, and thou shalt command the priests that bear the ark of the covenant, saying, when ye come to the brink of the water of Jordan, then ye shall stand in Jordan. And then he says in verse 9, he says, and Joshua said unto the children of Israel, come hither and hear the words of the Lord your God. Hear the words. You know, Sometimes I wish God would talk to me like that. You know, here I am wanting to do God's will, going into areas and territories that I've never been before. I'd like to hear God say, I'm with you always. I'd like to hear the Lord God say these words in my ear. But you know what? That doesn't happen. You know what happens? Me hearing the word, reading the word, abiding the word, living it, it makes a difference. Verse 10 says, and Joshua said, hereby that ye shall know that the living God, and this is important, the living God, we still have a living God. But he's saying that the living God is among you and that he will without fail drive them out. From you. And he mentions the groups that he was going to drive them out. I'm not going to get that far into that, but we also need to realize that there's another individual that I basically want to talk about. And this person is Solomon. Solomon. And as we read Solomon, we see that word heard in many occasions. We see the word of Solomon there. But Solomon, as we see, Solomon built, he finished building God's house. And as he finished building God's house, we see in 1 Kings chapter 9, verse 3 and 4, it says, and the Lord said, I have heard thy prayer and thy supplication, Solomon, that thou hast made before me, and I hallow this house that he has made for the Lord, which thou hast built, and to put my name there forever, and mine eyes and my heart shall be forever, forever. And if thou wilt walk before me, as David thy father walked, in integrity of heart, and in the uprightness, and to do according to all that I have commanded thee, and will keep my statutes and my judgments. And then I will establish the throne of the kingdom upon Israel forever, forever. And as I promised David thy father, saying that they shall not fail at all on the throne of Israel. Now, you know, this is something that we would really need to know, and we really need to stretch forward to, because we have the promise of heaven. And because we have the promise of heaven, that's something that we should look forward to. But not only look forward to, but that's a promise that God has given us. God has given us a heavenly promise, but he's also given us a promise to enter into the kingdom in which we are now when we obey the gospel. And when we obey the gospel, God is going to assure us that we're going to make it through. But the road is tough. The road is tough and the road is hard. Even though it's hard, we have our brethren to help us get back on track. We see that also Solomon, because he was heard by a queen. And it says in 1 Kings chapter 10, verse 11, and when Queen Sheba heard of the fame of Solomon concerning the name of the Lord, she came to prove him with hard questions. Do we really do that with one another? When we obey the gospel, do we prove one another? Do we come to each other and say, hey, bro, listen, or how can I understand this proverb? You know, we're to do that all the time. Because when we look at Timothy, and Timothy tells us that we need to reprove, reproach, okay, use it for correction, all of that, right? Hard questions about life. But she proved him. And she came to Jerusalem with a very great train. So she believes in him. She came with all of this, and with camels and with bear spices and as much as gold and also precious gold, precious stones. And she came to Solomon and she communed with him, and she communed with him of all of the things in her heart. She believed Solomon. She believed the Lord. She believed all of that. But you know what she did? She honored that. But not only did she honor that, she questioned it. But not only did she question it, she also followed. You know, let's go to the New Testament. And in the New Testament, we see that Peter and John, in Acts chapter 3, we see Peter and John come out. And as they come down, there's a man who is lame from childhood. And as he's lame from childhood, we see that he's there with alms, begging for alms. But his family has brought him there, always brought him there. And then so Peter comes up to him, and he knows he has his hand out to receive some. But Peter says, "Silver and gold have I none, but what I do have, rise." He got up leaping. He got up leaping, and the people knew that this man was lame from life. I think it says he was either 38 or 40. No, don't quote me on that. But we see that. But then we also see how things change, and how Peter and John and the apostle, well, Peter and John are arrested for preaching in the right way. So we see in Acts chapter 5, verse 29, when they're arrested by the Sanhedrin court arrested them. Yeah. But then we also see that they're in this situation. But listen, Peter and the other apostles answered and they said, "We ought to obey God rather than to obey men." That's a profound statement. We rather obey God. They've heard the message. They believe the message. Peter preaches the first sermon in Acts chapter 2. And he preaches the third sermon in Acts chapter 3. And he preaches another sermon in Acts chapter 4. Did he believe? Yes. Yes, he believed. In the book of Romans, we see that Paul says this. He says, "What then? Shall we sin because we are not under the law, but under grace? God forbids. Now, know ye not that to whom ye yield your servants, yourselves as servants to obey, his servants are who are to whom ye obey, rather of sin unto death or obedience unto righteousness?" I love the book of Romans. Again, what should we say? Should we continue in sin so that grace may abound? God says no. How should we who are dead to sin live any longer therein? Know ye not that so many of us that are baptized into Jesus Christ are baptized into his death? And then it goes further than that, because it says that we are baptized. Well, wait a minute. Let me back up. Jesus was baptized once. And since he was baptized once, we need to obey the gospel and be baptized once when we've heard the word, when we understood the word, when we have followed the easy prescription. In the book of Matthew, chapter 15, beginning at verse 10 and 11. And he called the multitude. Jesus called the multitude. And he says unto them, "Hear and understand. But not that which goeth into the mouth defiles a man, but that which come out of the mouth defiles a man." And I look at it like this. Today, here we are. If you said a curse word, you've defiled God. If you said a curse word, then you're not following in what it says in Colossians chapter 1, that evil communication should not proceed out of our mouth, right? Most definitely. But it's what comes out of the mouth. But not only what comes out of the mouth, it's your mind. If your mind is not renewed, you're not going to hear the word. You're not going to obey the word of God. You know, you're going to come in here and sleep. And you can come in here and sleep even with your eyes wide open. Okay? Even with your eyes wide open. While he yet spoke, we're speaking about when John took Jesus and baptized Jesus. We see it says, and while he had yet spoke, behold, a bright cloud came over them, and behold, the voice came out of the cloud and said, this is my son, in whom I am well pleased. Hear ye him. Hear ye him. Hear the words of the Lord. And this is God speaking. I said, boy, I wish that would happen to me. But, you know, I'm not the Christ. Matthew chapter 18. And if he shall neglect to hear them, then tell it unto the church. But if he neglect to hear the church, then let him be as a heathen or a publican. There are many assemblies that aren't even hearing this message. This message is not about what people think that it is. This message is about a brother who has fallen. And because the brother has fallen, that's letting me know that something's going on. The process is not happening. He's not hearing the word. He hasn't heard the word. Something's happening. But then when you go and you tell him, brother, you have sinned, and then he rejects that, then you go to another, a couple, a brother, and you speak to him. And if he hasn't heard, and we should be able to speak right with the brother, with the word of God. But then, if he doesn't hear, if he neglects the word of God, if he neglects the rebuke, if he doesn't correct, then he's treated as a publican. He's treated as a publican. The plan of salvation begins with this one word that we need to hear, the word of God. When Jesus came and he did all of his teaching, he did all of the miracles, he did it so that they may hear. When the 5,000 were fed, when the 7,000 were fed, he was doing it so that they may hear the word of God. When he went to the synagogues and when he went and preached and taught that which we needed to know, that we needed to obey. Hearing is the first process. Hearing is about learning. Hearing is about believing. And I'm not going to give all these scriptures because we know them all. Hear, believe, repent, confess, be baptized. But this thing about being faithful. We have a living God. And because we have a living God, we need to represent the church. We need to represent the body. Not just when we come here, but when we're in the public. People don't want to obey that. That's my lesson for tonight. But even though that's my lesson for tonight, we need to realize that praying for one another is important. If we have sinned, the brethren here will pray for you. But if we have not obeyed the gospel, you need to obey the gospel now. Because we see that Paul mentions, and his name Saul, he says, why tarriest thou? Ananias says, why tarriest thou? Arise and be baptized, calling upon the name of the Lord. If you want to make a move on this invitation, please stand as we sing this song.